Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noah. Happy New Year to you.
Mike, same to you, Mike. Let's first talk in context of one of your other positions. You work for ASM, and I just want to congratulate you and the organization for pulling off the Sugar Bowl and making that transition. I know there were a lot of moving parts as a result of the horrific events of the situation on Bourbon Street.
No, I thank you, and we appreciate it. And yes, the LSED and ASM, you know, Sugar Bowl, ESPN, I mean, you're a lot of moving parts, and a lot of people that are, you know, going, wait, today's Friday, January 3rd? You know, so, but then as soon as we walked in this morning, I opened up my computer, bang, it's the Super Bowl logo, and you know, that's that. It's the transition doesn't last long. It's into Super Bowl and getting ready for that. So it's a lot of work by a lot of great people in the city.
I had Jeff Hundley on the show at 10 o'clock this morning, and I said, in living up to the the history of the Sugar Bowl, it was kind of a crazy game last night.
Yeah, you know, I think when all is said and done, people look at the 50th and the 75th and the 100th, you know, that's coming up for them. But though the 91st All-State Sugar Bowl will always have kind of a, you know, a special place in people's hearts. And then, you know, people that might have come to the game that weren't going to, or watched the game that weren't going to, that, you know, impacted by watching the game and the pregame and all that went on, and the people who were in town who stayed. It was an emotional day. I mean, it was an emotional 2 days, you know, when you think about it. So I think there was so much that went on that was positive beyond the first, right? I mean, there's just that a lot of things that went on with this city and state and region and Superdome and everybody could do. I think you're right. It was, you know, the game itself was kind of, you know, they look at the final score and you go, it wasn't really that, you know, but it had some moments. End of the second quarter, you know, but if you left early to go get something like for halftime and you missed the end of the second quarter, and maybe you're a little late coming back and you missed the kickoff of the third quarter, you missed a couple of big plays there.
The biggest parts of the game in about 90 seconds, right?
Exactly. Separated by, you know, 45 minutes or halftime, but you're right. Yeah. Those two plays really, you know, put Notre Dame in position to walk out of the building, and then their defense, man, was just stifling.
And as you pointed out, the transition immediate, right? I mean, the close of the Sugar Bowl, and we're now counting the hours to the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, they're still the Sugar Bowl is moving out. That's because we have, you know, move ins and move outs for different events, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of you know, it's, for us, it's not a transition because we've been dealing and talking and meeting with the NFL for 2 years. And then, you know, and then within a year, every month, and then within every week, and, you know, they're moving in on Monday. So, it's kind of visually, it's kind of like, boom, all right, Super Bowl, next up, you know, on deck. But for us inside the building, it's been, you know, it's Friday, January 3rd, and we've moved on to the next event.
Yeah. So, Mike, the last game of the NFL season this Sunday for the Saints, they take on the Tampa Bay Bucks. The game has some heightened importance. Tampa Bay wins, they go to the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with Coach Rizzi on this one. You know, when you want this game to matter, right? You know, you want to get, if this were, it didn't mean anything to either team, which, you know, it would be, you know, just tough. So Tampa, you're right. You know, they, you know, win and they're in. They control, you know, the situation. They can actually lose if Atlanta would lose to Carolina, but nobody expects that. But so, yeah, I mean, they're playing good football. They're at the right time. They seem to have a ton of weapons. I mean, if you just look at the numbers, it's a little mind-boggling when you go, my gosh, I mean, how is this, you know, their offense, you know, we talk about top 20, top 10, you know, their offense is top 5, you know, pretty much across the board, you know, for a team that's not in the playoffs, right? That's pretty impressive.
And with a quarterback that no one thought he would really be still around over there, right? He was kind of viewed as, I guess, transitional, for lack of a better term. I'm not sure how you refer to it.
Well, he kind of, you know, Baker kind of resurrected his career, I think, and kind of going to the Rams as he did and playing kind of short notice. And he showed you enough. And so it was a flyer. The Tampa took out a flyer on Baker. His first contract was nothing, right? And they're like, oh, you know, what do we got to lose, right? He was still young. I mean, he's only in his seventh year. He's the former number one pick overall. In fact, he turns 30 next April. So he'd be 30 in 2025. So, yeah, I mean, it's like because financially didn't cost him a lot, weren't sure. They'd seen a spark of what he could do. You know, he's Baker, right? You know, he's got 39 touchdowns, got 15 picks, but he leads the NFL, 13 fumbles, right? He's just Baker. He's kind of Brett Favre-ish. He's going to gunsling it and go out there and make a lot of phenomenal plays. Sometimes he might make the wrong decision. But for the most part, he has been what has fueled their offense, you know, resurgence. You know, Todd Bowles is more of a defensive guy. But, man, their offense is very, very – and they've drafted well. They run the ball, right? I mean, does anybody know – you know, we've played them, of course, week 6. So we know Bucky Irving. I don't know if the rest of the world knows, you know, that the – you know, rookie out of Oregon has 1,000 yards this season. So he's been, you know, he's a fourth rounder. So they're pretty complete team playing well. So this is a good, really good test for the Saints to keep evaluating, because that's really the mode they're in. And you want to do so against a team that cares. If not, your evaluation has an asterisk by it.
So for Spencer Rattler, obviously this is, I think, a big game in many ways for him, moving into the next season, right?
Right. I mean, he got his first start against Tampa in week 6. He was 22 of 40 for 243, touchdown, had a couple of picks. But yeah, you know, what you really want, unfortunately, because I think this is the tall task, what you really want him to get is a win, right? He's 0-5 as a starter, 0-6 in the games that he's played, because he came in at halftime of the Washington games. He really just kind of, I think, from just a confidence and for him to get a W, right? And so, but unfortunately, that W has to come in Tampa against a team barreling towards the playoffs. But yeah, I think it's another. I think the Saints have to go into the offseason with a pretty good barometer and a gauge of where they are at the quarterback position. Like Derek Carr is coming back. I mean, he's going to be the quarterback, but are you going to go and do the same thing next year in your backup role, right? Not sure, but that'll be the question. But yeah, I think it's an important game for him, just to kind of end it positively. And he had the same, last week he had one touchdown, two INTs. Now your INTs can't be more than your touchdowns. So that's, I think it is an important game for him and some others.
There's been a lot of chatter about Derek Carr really wanting to play this last game. Obviously not a smart decision to do so. Same with Alvin Kamara. Not a real smart decision to do so at this point in time in the season, right?
Right. I mean, it's just, it's what you gain. If they wanted to play, if they were really healthy and, if this were a playoff game, would I play? You want to give them some control and the ability to do so, but you also don't want to make it worse, especially if Carr, you want that to heal. You want Alvin to get 1,000. I mean, you really, you just do. But when you weigh the pros and the cons and the big picture, it's just tough. It's a tough decision. You're saving the players from themselves.
Yeah. How do you sum this up for the Saints? I mean, overall, it's a tough game. You're going in, you got no shot at the playoffs. Last game. How do you sum it up for them overall?
For the week 18, just this game in Tampa.
I think this is what I'm taking.
If you ask me from a Saints organization, is if I'm standing inside the building, you want to ruin Tampa's playoff chances. And I know what that means to fans out there. I know the other side of that coin, but the only thing you can do is you got to go in and win a football game. And you get to ruin their opportunity, most likely, of making the postseason and end the string of what would be four straight. Well, how about that? I thought we put an end to that parade. Four straight NFC South division titles. Ruin their parade and get a W. End the season with a W. That ain't going to be easy. I mean, they are just loaded right now. But that's the NFL. You just you never know. But that's what I think. You got to finish on a positive note, And then because the off season, this off season is going to flip like Sunday night to Monday morning. It is going to be so different than it was when Sean left in 21. It's just a different situation, right? I mean, that maybe inside the building they knew early, after the season that Sean was coming back, but it didn't feel like the first couple of weeks. And then you had, Dennis Allen right there after the 21 season. And so it just kind of, smoothly progressed. Well, this, I feel, was going to be a much different situation. And so the transition from this season to the next season, that week of what this off season is going to be like, is going to be, I think, crazy, pretty chaotic. And that's another reason for, as Deuce says all the time, man, he's like, you got nothing's guaranteed. You're going out there, you're putting your tape doesn't lie. You go out there week 18 and you're a 24-year-old in your third year and you think you got the world, at your feet and you gotta go produce. Nothing's guaranteed next year.
That has to be a little harrowing for players too, right? I know you talk to a lot of players all the time, not knowing who the leader's going to be, right? The uncertainty of
I mean, I think that'll take care of itself fairly quickly. Because I mean, when the players, their off season, man, they got it. They're off. They're done. Their body's got to heal. Their mind's got to heal. And so, the direction that the team's going to go in, top to bottom, they'll adjust. I mean, the question becomes, what roster changes are made after, right? A new regime comes in. What new coaches, who stays, whatever, I believe that, Coach Rizzi is going to get, an interview and a fair shake, but who knows? I don't know. But what happens immediately after that'll be kind of, I mean, look what happened in the day after Coach Rizzi became the head coach. I mean, you're talking about change,
yeah.
Right? So, I, you know, if a new guy is hired and comes in and, you know, who knows what kind of situations you'll be facing with the roster, with the coaches, with anybody. So, it's I think and that's the hardest part is dealing with the unsettledness of something you don't control. That's tough.
Interestingly, obviously the Saints had the opportunity to keep a lot of the coaching staff intact when they moved from, you know, Sean to Dennis Allen. And over a period of time, Sean ended up taking some folks from the coaching staff. It seems to me that you think that happens again or no? I don't think that those stars are lining up that way this time.
Yeah, it's hard to. You're right. I mean, I agree. I always have said, like, well, Sean wanted out. He had a year on his contract left. He wanted out. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go in it. And they really, the 21 season, I think, was probably the best coaching job he did in the whole time he was here. Now, how about that? Right?
Yeah.
9-8. They have four different quarterbacks, four different kickers, and they finished 9-8 and, you know, nearly made the playoffs. And so we're going to fire all his staff because he decides he's going to leave with a year left on his contract. And so, I felt like if you like the coaches and they agree with your scheme and, you know, they certainly didn't, it wasn't, you're right, a cleaning house situation. And obviously the defensive coordinator was on board with many of those guys. He'd been, you know, with them, working with them. So, you know, I supported Sean taking Zach. I mean, I was big for that one. I enjoyed that move. But other than that, I thought keeping the coaches around was a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be I'll be watching that game for sure. I just hope we come through the game injury free and no big, you know, issues for much of anybody and win.
I'm not sure there's anybody left to get hurt. There's like, when you go back and look through it, and I'm doing so now. I mean, you look at when these guys left, Paulson Adebo in week 7 and week 6 for Shaheed and Taysom and all these guys. It's not like they've been out for the last couple of games. They've been out since October.
Yeah.
So it's been a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Well, we will be listening to you, Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints. Thank you so much for joining us today. Keep up the great work. Last Sunday for you for a while, right?
Yeah, for a little while. But, look forward to it. Deuce and I, we have a great time and appreciate everybody listening. And let's just finish on a big note. Finish on a good note. But I appreciate it. Thanks.
Absolutely. All righty. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, we'll visit with Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Companies.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Mike Johnson fails to win the House speakership on the first ballot. Three votes for others thus far at the present time, and the voting continues. Joining us on the line is Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Walt, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Noel. Always a pleasure.
Well, your thoughts, everything seemed to be just going so perfectly, so right, the buildup to, you know, New Year's, Sugar Bowl and all. And then this tragic event hits us. And obviously the goal was to disrupt all of this for the sake of getting, I guess, notoriety and media coverage of this for the purpose of whatever. That, I mean, a lot of this is still under investigation. Your thoughts in general?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, not only as we've been talking about for months now and as we've been working on for years, preparation for the major event of the Super Bowl in February, but also most constant improvement in so many other ways with public safety and other things. And you know, even on New Year's Eve, my wife and I were down on Decatur Street at the concert that French Quarter Fest and our team partnered to put on with Tank and the Bangas and law enforcement on every street corner, clean and a lot of people of all ages having a great time and just a beautiful night from a weather standpoint. In retrospect, almost feels like it was too perfect. And for this to kind of, this violent act by one evil person to disrupt that just a few hours later, it's hard to even wrap your head around. But, you know, I it's hard for me to think about some individual sitting around thinking, where can I go to inflict pain on people that are experiencing joy? You know, where can I go to seek out a place that is a symbol of, you know, of where people come together to have special major events and a great time with family and friends and try to destroy that and ultimately destroy people's lives and disrupt so many others. It's mind-boggling. It makes me angry, makes me sad, but it also makes me resolute and along with all of us, I think, in this city and region and state, that we're not going to let that disrupt who we are or dim the light of this special place.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right. And in the aftermath of this, obviously keeping in mind and being respectful of those that tragically lost their lives and all of the victims that are injured and some still recovering in the hospital and having, you know, difficulties as well. There is this necessity, right, and this motivation to have to immediately move on to diminish whatever impact that this individual tried to achieve.
I think, you know, we as Americans have been conditioned in some ways to that. You know, I think in the wake of 9/11, you know, 20 something years ago now, we've been conditioned to say we can't let the terrorist win. And we have to, you know, prevent them from succeeding and disrupting our lives and the way that we live our lives. And I think certainly in our city, in our region, in our state, in our community of people here in Louisiana and in New Orleans have been through struggles. You know, we've been knocked down and we've gotten back up and we've developed the muscle memory that it takes to be able to do that and to bounce back. And so I think those two things are combining here. I know for our team and for me personally, I've been really incredibly uplifted by the messages I've received from around the country and the world from customers, but also colleagues who work in other cities doing the work that we do, just saying, we feel for you. We're with you in spirit because there isn't any place like New Orleans. It's so special, and affirming their commitment and love for it and their desire to see us emerge even stronger just reminds you that horrible things like this, you know, they don't happen in places that are inconsequential. They don't happen in places that don't matter. And our city really matters. It matters to a lot of people. It lives in their hearts and in their minds and in their imagination as a symbol of something different and special and remarkable and unique. And that can't be taken away by the act of a single, you know, evil person. It just can't be. And not only are we not going to let it happen, but there are people who care about us and love us from afar who don't want to let that happen either. And that's reassuring. And I think speaks to the power of a place like New Orleans that specializes in bringing people together for special events and major events and meetings and conferences and celebrating the culture that's uniquely ours.
I have to imagine that there's been a lot of conversation of your peers, not only around the country, but around the world. I said this the other day, pick any city, pick any state, pick any country, and this can happen. And it has happened. And we've watched it from afar, and obviously it hit home this time. But I have to imagine that it has stimulated a lot of conversation amongst your peers.
I suspect that as I attend my next U.S. travel meeting and other industry meetings, that this will rejuvenate the kind of conversations that have been had in the past and you know, and are being had in cities all over the world. To your point, how do we improve and how do we address this sort of the fact that some of these things are possible? And the thing that's going to be interesting for us, and I think a challenge for us, but also a good thing, is that our French Quarter is unique. It is a neighborhood where people live and thrive. It is a entertainment zone where people come together to enjoy, you know, themselves and spend time with family and friends and celebrate. And it is a historic district that has got some limitations from an access standpoint and how businesses are serviced and how individuals are serviced. And so we'll our challenge will be that, and maybe our opportunity will be that we can look at cities around the world and pick and choose best practices and work to implement some of those so that they work for our unique neighborhood, the French Quarter. And that is something that will be a good opportunity for us. Not all things work in all places. And even the implementation of the right technologies require that you then execute on those technologies and on those opportunities that you create for yourself. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be an interesting time where I think we need to be thoughtful and put everything on the table and consider all the options. But we also shouldn't forget that just because one evil person on one night, wreaked this awful harm and this horrific act, you can't let that overshadow the thousands of nights that have gone before where we've successfully hosted large gatherings, groups, events, meetings, conferences, Super Bowls, Final Fours. And so you want to make sure that you do it thoughtfully and smartly and respectfully for what this very special place is.
And I thank you and your organization for your leadership, because I think y'all have a history of bringing a very intellectual approach to these conversations, right? And I think one of the worst things that can happen, and I'd love to get your reaction to this, is that we react emotionally, right, and too quick. I think the reaction ultimately has to be, no matter what we decide to do or what we decide to embrace, has to be more measured in our approach and obviously intellectual in our approach.
Yeah, I mean, what's going to work, not what's going to feel good or look good. And I really commend the leadership.
Couldn't have said it better. You know, I mean, that's spot
on. It's much more about being effective than about looking good or looking the right way. And that this is you and I have spoken a lot about this in the past. It's not always just about ensuring that people feel safe. It's that people are safe. You want to do both things because people need to feel that way, but I think it needs to be thoughtful. And I do want to commend, I mean, I think the governor and I think the mayor, I certainly believe that our local and state law enforcement officials, and particular thanks to the regional law enforcement officials from parishes in the whole area and beyond that came with overwhelming force yesterday to demonstrate that people were going to be safe. And that is a testament to people standing together and being defiant against this single act of evil. And that's the approach that's going to get us where we need to go. There's plenty of time for Monday morning quarterbacking later. But to your point, I agree. The last thing we want to see is an overreaction that is emotional and that is a show. We'd much rather, I think, be thoughtful and deliberate and effective, and you know, that is that should always be the goal. And I think we're certainly going to be looking forward to being a part of those conversations as we go forward.
I know that you spend a lot of time talking to local tourism folks, restaurant tours, and others. I think they did a great job in regrouping, recollecting, not a lot of complaining, just pulling their boots up and getting about the work.
Yeah, this is kind of what I mean when I say, like, I hate to even use the word resilient because I think people get frustrated with having to be resilient, but I feel like it's muscle memory. I think, you know, last night we had two really great football teams who have trained their whole lives, but certainly trained for the last year, put themselves in contention to compete for championships. Our folks here, we've been having to train ourselves to be able to take punches and get up off the mat for a long time as well. And the business owners, the team members at those businesses, obviously bounced back really strong. I went down to Bourbon Street after the Sugar Bowl last night and had a cocktail with a friend in defiance of the horrible act. And it was wonderful to see the teams there. I think a lot of those teams in the restaurants and other establishments, I mean, they wanted to be together yesterday and they wanted to bounce back, and they did. And they started the day with 100 reservations. They ended the day with 200 reservations. And that's a sign that I think both locals and the people who are visiting here were wanting to go down there and show their support. And my expectation would be that this weekend will probably be pretty busy down there, because I think a lot of people in our community are going to say, you know, you and I both know how some locals feel about the French Quarter. You kind of take it for granted, or you shake it off as not a place that you spend a lot of time. But I think right now people are feeling like they want to go support it even more. And I hope that that will happen, because you do realize when things like this happen, how special that place is, how unique it is, and how remarkable it is.
I was encouraged too. We're not always treated well by the national media, I guess, to put it bluntly. But I was really encouraged by so many that just came back, you know, last night, and they said, New Orleans is back. It's back. They pulled it together, and it's back.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be hard not to. I was frankly just so surprised walking up to the Superdome, seeing the large crowds of visitors, but also hearing from locals who were saying, hey, man, like I was getting texts, hey, I wasn't planning on going to the Sugar Bowl, but I just bought a ticket and I'm heading down there. And, you know, I think we've been one condition to come together in times of crisis like this, to have these moments of catharsis. And there was a little bit of an aspect to that. I know there are probably people out there who feel like that game wasn't important, and, you know, there were more important things that needed to be done. But at the same time, you know, this community knows how to both mourn and rise. And I think that was what kind of yesterday was. There was no disrespect or lack of respect for those mourning and those suffering and for that which was lost. But there was a sense that you can't allow some evil person to take away what's special about this community. And when you have the opportunity to have a Sugar Bowl that hosts two fine universities competing at the highest levels, that's an honor for our community, right? Like we're honored to host that event. That's a big deal, and it means a lot to those people. It was important that we be able to produce that, and I give a lot of credit to Jeff Hundley and the Sugar Bowl committee. I'm not sure that people understand how hard they work to make that event happen from year to year, but particularly how hard it is to make it work under these circumstances. So hats off to them on another successful event, another, you know, chapter in a 91-year book that's been written of a really important and special event for our whole community. And, you know, hats off to Notre Dame on winning the game, and for Georgia for the way they competed. And, you know, exciting to see what the future of college football is for the Sugar Bowl and for our city. We know we'll be a big part of it.
No doubt. When we come back, we'll talk about some recommendation and helpful hints and how to move forward here and how to give back in many ways. We're visiting with Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Walt, the FBI is asking for assistance. They would like folks to have, if they saw anything or they have any piece of information, photos, videos, or otherwise, to please forward that to them, right?
You know, there's a website, also a phone number, and other information where they're gathering data, and I understand they've gotten a lot of tips and gotten a lot of help, and certainly state police and local law enforcement are supporting all those efforts, but the FBI is leading the way on it, and I think we're all looking forward to continuing to understand this more, if it's possible to understand it more, and anything people can do to provide more information, more data points is very helpful. So even the smallest things matter.
Yeah. I think it's 1-800-CALL-FBI or www.fbi.gov/Bourbon Street attack to provide information. Also, the blood center is in an emergency situation, and they've been hosting a number of emergency blood drives as well.
They've received overwhelming responses from what I've seen. I know our team has been pushing out some information on social media. Uber has stepped up to offer rides to people to get to those blood centers. And I think some of that information is available on our website and at neworleans.com, but also I'm sure in many other locations and on social channels. So absolutely, blood donations critically important at this time, as you suggested. And there are still people, you know, fighting for their lives and recovering. And if you can help them, then great. But certainly as in every day, there's a need for the for blood center and donations. So that's a certainly a way that you can give back. And then, of course, I know Ganoff at GNOF.org and also the United Way have funds stood up for victims and the families of victims of this horrific event and are supporting them. And I know our team has made a contribution to both of those funds this morning. And I've heard that several other very high profile athletes in the community, Zion Williamson and Cam Jordan, and I'm certain others have stepped up and made contributions as well. So those are other ways that people can support the folks that have been impacted the most directly by this.
And unfortunately, we've also had the bogus GoFundMe accounts already set up. I just read a news release. People never cease to amaze me.
Yeah, that's disheartening. And I think that's generally why the Ganoff, the Greater New Orleans Foundation, and the United Way stepping up with these funds is helpful. It gives people an opportunity to be supportive and to know that there's a level of fidelity to the mission that is there with that. So that's there for you, and they're certainly great community partners in so many ways, but once again, have stepped up to be official opportunities for people to help.
Yeah, it makes it, like you said, a lot easier, and you don't have to worry about whether or not the right thing's being done. Walt, also, the president and the first lady coming to town next week.
Yeah, I think another indication of what this really is, right? This was an attack on America and on our way of life. And, obviously their presence and support means a lot, as well as the federal resources that have already come down to help. And that will certainly, I think, continue to ask for as time goes on. You know, having the FBI come down, lead this effort is helpful and just brings additional support to our local law enforcement community. And so them showing up, I think, reiterates the importance of our community and the importance of standing up against and being defiant against these acts. And so we'll certainly be happy to welcome them. And I'm certain that with all of the high profile events that continue to happen in our community, we'll have other opportunities to welcome other national leaders as we go forward to, celebrate with us, be a part of the major events, the conferences, the meetings that are happening. And as much as we're preparing for the Super Bowl, we're preparing for meetings next week. You know, we have groups coming in next week that'll be in hotels. We have organizations that are coming in, like National Auto Dealers, a couple of weeks before the Super Bowl. And so our preparations, continue, and we continue to press on even as we mourn.
Yeah, absolutely. Continues to be very busy. Walt, as always, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate all that your organization does and taking a leadership role. Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Noel.
Thank you, sir. A lot of folks texting in, where can we give blood? If you go to the Blood Center website, New Orleans EMS is partnering with the Blood Center to host a pair of emergency blood drives today from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 2609 Canal Street, and other blood center locations in the region are also open with extended hours, which you can find at the Blood Center website. We'll be right back. We'll check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, look, it's the beginning of a beautiful weekend. It's still the beginning of a new year, 2025, but we still have a lot to talk about concerning the Bourbon Street tragedy. But we'll also talk about some of the exciting football games coming up. Some great college playoff games were taking place the last couple of days. Those were fun. But some big NFL games coming up. We'll talk about that, too.
All righty, Scoot's headed your way, folks. Have a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you guys again on Monday.